Hello, everyone. This is George Watkins. Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon. Hello, everyone. Good to have you along on this Sunday night live broadcast, and I am fired up tonight. And the subject is going to be what I'm fired up about, and that's we've been poked in the ribs by the Lord to stimulate our faith and release the stuff in us called trust, right? Righteous indignation. I was going to say that, but the faith of God to be released. So I want to talk about the flashpoint of faith, and we'll get into that as we progress tonight. Didn't mean to blast you out as I came on. I'm just excited and turned on about the opportunities we have to release faith. I heard someone say the other day, one of the men of God that's speaking on the social media, the internet, said that we've used our, it was Mario Murillo, by the way, I believe. He said, we've used our faith and we've exercised our faith for things. And in a large sense, often I need healing, finances, promotion, protection. But we need to release our faith now for a nation, a world. We need to release our faith now for righteousness to prevail. We need to release our faith now for this nation to come to its destiny, which is not destruction. It's not the end of the world. And I know we come back around full circle often, and especially in trying times. One of the first things out of the bag, you know, for a lot of Christians, because they've been raised on the eschatology of escape, getting out of here, we're out of here, and leave the world to go to hell or whatever. Well, that's not the way it works. God said, I've put you here to be salt and light, and I've put you here to dominate and rule. I put you here to multiply. I put you here to disciple nations. I didn't put you here to wait on the rapture bus bench for the escape. Any Yahoo can do that, but he put in you the power of heaven. He put in you and me the authority of God. He put in you and me the ability to speak and command and release and create and settle the fact by faith. Now, what is this thing called the flashpoint of faith? Well, Oral Roberts came up with the term the point of contact. I'm calling it the flashpoint of faith. It's the trigger that sets us in a mode to release our faith. Well, this can go far field if I'm not careful, because there's a lot of trails we could go on. For instance, if you're not believing God, does God put something in your life to cause you to believe him? There you go. If you're not believing God, does God allow something to come by to trigger your faith? You see, what you don't use, you'll lose. Is that right? What you don't use, you will lose. Take, for instance, the fella in Matthew 25. Three of them. Two of them used their talents, invested their talents, and received back a multiplication. Third guy was fearful, didn't understand the master. He was afraid of him, didn't want to disappoint him by, you know, making a bad deal, so he just buried his talent. Well, what happened? He lost it because he didn't use it. If I took this arm, which I treasure. It's been with me a long time. It's a companion. And lashed it to my side. It wouldn't be too many days immobile that I wouldn't be able to move it. And if I left it there long enough, it would actually be paralyzed. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. So faith is a muscle. Faith is to be exercised. Faith is to be used. Faith is not to be admired. Faith is not to be set on the pedestal or the fireplace mantle and looked at and bragged about. Faith is a muscle. And a muscle is meant to take us somewhere, to cause us to perform, to give us the ability to do what we have in our heart to do. So Jesus said, or the scripture says, he has dealt to every man a measure of faith. I believe that we all have the ability to believe God in a beginning faith, put it that way, a beginning faith. If they're going to put a bridge or a means for the army to get from one side of the canyon to the other, now they have a gun that has a rope attached to it, and they shoot something to attach itself to the other side, and they have a small rope. A small cord on that, maybe a twine, and then they tie a bigger rope on that, and they pull that bigger rope over, then they pull a bigger rope over, and eventually they are able to build something strong enough to take equipment across. But it started with a small little cord being shot across the canyon. I use the illustration from my childhood of the water pump, you know, the hand pump at the sink. Now, I realize quite a number of you have never had a hand pump at the sink unless you've gone to the mountain cabin somewhere. But you had a little pump, and it had a direct connection to a well right below the house or somewhere close by. But there was a water pitcher that my mother always kept right beside that. And in the morning, she'd pour some water in there because it softened up the leathers. Well, in those days, they used leather instead of rubber. They didn't have the rubber products developed then. And the water would soak into that leather. The leather would swell so that the suction could happen. And then here comes the water from the well. That's called priming the pump. I believe God primes our pump by giving us opportunities to believe him. Could this be this national crisis we're in? This national crisis for health and for the stealing, the thievery of our freedoms and for our democracy is so close to collapsing. I believe God's going to rescue. I believe God's already got the answer. I was listening to a prophetess on Elijah streaming the other day. And she's one that goes to heaven and visits the Lord and fellowships with him in heavenly places. And she goes into the garden and walks with him. Now, if you've never heard that language before, need to look around. There's quite a few people that are speaking like that and doing that and enjoying a relationship, face-to-face relationship with a Father that is pretty exciting, to tell you the truth. It really is. Okay, back to my subject. And she says, Father, she calls him Daddy God. It's a very, very relational statement, close contact with a Father, Daddy God. And she said, tell me, what's going to happen? What are you going to do to help us? And he smiled at her and he says, I've got this. No, I want some detail. We need to know how you're going to do it. And he just says, I've got this. Well, that sounds to me like trust. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. Wow. We want detail. We want time codes, time schedules. We want, you know, the color of the victory flag, whatever. Now, does God orchestrate or allow trigger points of faith? Well, that may be a subject for another day, but they come regardless. They come whether God orchestrated it or allowed it. They come. Now, what happens when they come? Let's look at a couple of examples that Jesus put people in to trigger faith. Well, let's back up in the Old Testament. The captain of the enemy's army is leprosy. He has leprosy, deadly disease, incurable in those days especially. He hears that there's a prophet in Israel that can heal him. So he goes and comes to the courtyard or the front of the gate with all of his fancy, you know, display and all the men around him on horseback, I suppose. One of the prophets to come out and heal him. The prophet sent out a message. Hey, just go wash in the river, our river here, Jordan. Yeah. The old boy was offended. He said, that's a dirty river. We got better rivers in our town, in our country. So he goes, he leaves. Well, he regrets it. He comes back. Finally goes and washes in the river and is healed. Now, what is the point of that exercise? Was it a display of power from the prophet? Wanted to show the old boy he had the authority, or he was just getting back at him, wanted to embarrass him a little bit, make him feel small? Or was it something that he could act on? And when he acted by faith in the word of the prophet, then something took place in his spirit as well as the spirit of God. He believed the prophet and he prospered. I love that statement. Believe the prophet and you'll prosper. Well, that means that there's things that the word of the Spirit of God through the prophetic word of God can give you and I a directive or a key. And if we obey that key or that directive or that secret that the Lord revealed, something can happen. Something can happen. How about Peter? He's in the boat, sees Jesus, and he said, if that be you, bid me come. Well, he was setting up a point of contact, and he was setting up a flash point of faith. Jesus said, come. Well, he jumped out of the boat, walked on the water. Or Robert said he walked on the word, come. That's a good point, and I love the sermon. I love the point, the whole principle of it. When God said something, you can walk on it. And he walked on the command and came. He didn't walk on the water. He walked on the command, and he obeyed it. The old boy that had a withered hand, Jesus said, stand forth. So, a release of obedience in a command from God, from Jesus, he could do that. He had good legs. He stood forth. And when he obeyed what he could do, his hand was healed. Wow. Well, Jesus took another example, didn't he? When he made clay of the spittle. I love that King James stuff. Clay of the spittle. Well, he spit, made a mud ball, put it in his eyes. Now, there's some speculation. Did he have eyeballs and Jesus made an eyeball? plopped it in there? A mud ball? I'm not sure. Or did he just take mud and smear it on the eyelids? Regardless, he said, go wash. Go wash. So he went to the water and he washed and he was healed. Those are flashpoints of faith. Times when emergencies come, trials come, pressure comes, sickness comes, danger comes, sudden turn of events, all of a sudden, God, I speak and command this thing to happen. I release the angels. I say to the mountain, be thou removed. I bind the power of sickness. I say to the virus, die. Those are flashpoints of faith. When that thing in you and I, that thing called faith, that spiritual connection to heaven, that floodgate of God's anointing is released. And it's really released by our confession, by our speech. When we say something, say to the mountain, be thou removed. He didn't say, wish it. Wish the mountain would be removed. Oh, thou mountain, I wish you would be removed. I'll tell you what. You ever have a dog come at you biting it, you know, barking and and chomping at the bit to bite you? If you don't give a command of some kind that's more than, oh, I wish you would not bite me. Oh, I wish you would go away. Oh, I just don't want you to bite. No, all of a sudden out of you comes a something that you didn't even know was in there. Get out of here. Go. Well, just had a flashback of getting bit by a dog one day. So you don't speak weakly to emergencies. You put your faith together and stand together in faith. All right. Now, with that frame thought or that framing picture in our mind, the trigger, what triggers our faith? Let's shift just a moment here and just get some ideas or some examples of what we do to frame a trigger point on our own. A trigger point on our own. All right, let's go to the common. If you're a church person, which many of you are, we go to church. That's where we love to be. We have set up a pattern of releasing our faith. We have done it through our style of services and church meetings. We usually open up in a worship time. Now, what that does is it begins to bring us into a release of faith. The children of Israel, when they were on the march and when they went into victory, or when they were going across the water that needed to be parted, they sent the priests first. When Solomon dedicated the temple after it was constructed, David gave him all the material and he built it. The priest went in first. So what is that? It's a preparation to trigger the anointing. So we have preparation, things we should do to trigger something in us, to prepare us to pull the lever on faith. Okay. Now, if worship is really happening, not just songs and, you know, let's get it over with so we can sit down, or entertainment where the people on the platform are having all the fun and you're watching them. Oh boy, that happens too often. But when worship happens, it opens up a door, a portal. It gives us a way to touch the Spirit of God that we haven't been able to touch. It gives us a preparation to release our faith. Now, next thing that happens after the perfunctory announcements and so forth, an offering, we have a teaching, a preaching, a teaching, a revelation, an opening up of the scriptures, something that just That word, the word of God, builds our faith. We listen to the word of God being exposed to us, and so forth. Well, there's a point then where we're invited to the front, or does anybody have a need, or we're going to pray for the sick, and so forth. And at the altar, we have, in our customary services, we have now prepared a place to release faith. We say, if you have sickness, come forward. If you want to be ministered to in any form, come forward. So we get up out of our seat and we release our faith in that predetermined trigger point called going to the front. And we have prepared ourselves to have someone lay hands on us. And when they lay hands on us, we have a point of contact with heaven, and we have a point of contact to agree with someone, and our faith has been triggered, or the trigger's been pulled, the lever's been pulled. Okay, that's maybe a crude or a simple illustration for a wonderful experience. Okay, well, now, what's the downside? The downside is we've trained people to wait to get to church. That's the downside. We've trained generations of people to, dial in Tulsa and get the man of God and get the holy water and have him send you a prayer cloth. Was that a preparation for another level? Was that just the first small line, string across the canyon for us, where we were being trained to release our faith? What's the next step of triggering faith? Well, some of us have learned to have our own prayer closet, our prayer chamber. Some of us have learned to have a garden in the Spirit, where in the Spirit we go into the garden of God and we meditate there and receive visitations from heaven. Some of us have learned to release our faith for night visions called dreams. Some of us have released our faith to step into the presence of God in various forms and receive angelic visitations and receive the men in white linen and the cloud of witnesses. Oh my. If you haven't done it, you need to spend some time on the internet, because that's our great highway of information now. There is a worldwide release of supernatural experiences that our churches that we had, when we were us four no more, that's about what we had in mind. We're going to heaven. Hope everybody else is. But now we can see what God's doing around the world. For instance, the greatest revival in the world right now is Iran. Iran, well, I thought they were our enemy. God's doing revival. And one of the greatest, the second greatest, I heard this just yesterday, is Afghanistan. Supernatural failure of our government in Afghanistan. The Christian church is busting loose, and it will come through victorious, just like the Chinese church is multiplying just by huge amounts because of persecution. Is that a trigger of faith? I don't believe God sends a curse on a trouble to a nation just for that reason. But if it happens and we begin to release our faith, God will do supernatural things. Now, what are some of your release mechanisms? A song, where you go into your chamber and turn on music. Meditate. Coffee. Get a cup of coffee and sit on the front porch and think about God. That's a legitimate release of faith. Lord, I'm going to meet you face to face. Now, what happens? What happens when you meet him face to face in those private settings of meditation? I meditate upon the word day and night. I meditate upon your name, your face, your presence day and night. What does that do? That does something for us to be able to have confidence that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Why? Because anytime that we release that faith, we can have fellowship with the Father. Wow. Now, we're not doing away with church. We still go to the altar. We still have the fivefold ministries and all the other gifts that function in the general council, you know, the house of God, where people gather together in one accord, the congregation. But I believe it's time for you, the believer, to step into a realm of fellowship with the Father, that your faith can be triggered, not after songs and a sermon where you have to go have someone pray for you, but that you and I learn to step into the councils, to the presence, to the chamber of his throne room, and enter in by faith and watch something happen. That Psalms 100, the fourth verse, we enter in through praise and worship. Enter into his presence. Enter into his gates, into his courts. It seems like a two-tier entry. One of them is the court, the outer court, and then the inner court. That would be likened into the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies, where one chamber has an encounter with the candlesticks and the table of shewbread and the altar of incense, all those things, you know, those are important, almost like the worship time, isn't it? But we enter into the Ark of the Covenant, where there's the angelic, the cherubims, and then we have the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. Amen. I'm encouraging you today to find your trigger points of faith. Don't wait for tragedy or emergencies or lack. Don't wait for sickness or pain or sorrow or, you know, danger. Begin to exercise your faith for someone else. Begin to exercise your faith so that muscle stays strong. Amen. Wow. There's so many opportunities to excel in the gospel and in our spiritual journey. There's nothing lacking. You have the name, you have the blood, you have the cross, you have the resurrection, you have the commands that Jesus gave you, you have the authority of the Holy Spirit, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given you all things richly to enjoy. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to give you a brand new car and a new house and a new suit. That means you have every tool at your hands. You and I have every tool at our hands to enjoy and release ourselves unto God's purpose. Amen. Well, there you go. It's a good day to exercise our faith. It's a good day to have that trigger, you know, shoot that thing forward, that faith gun. Amen. Love you guys. It's a great privilege to come and be with you on these Sunday nights. I have been very, very busy. I'm going to be 3 days in Oregon again, right next to Longview. We're going to go and be a support to the Todd Smith Ministry at the Rainier Assembly of God, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this next week. Now, if you're in that region, in the Portland area, Longview area, we start at 7 o'clock, but you better come early to get a seat, because they usually line up. And if it's the point of contact, the trigger of faith is the water baptism. Now, when we say that, there's always someone that says, well, are you baptizing again in the name of Jesus, or to go to heaven, or to get saved? No. Todd Smith, about 3.5 years ago, he pastors a church in Georgia. And if you want to look it up on the internet, it's the Northern Georgia Revival. And for three and a half years ago, God had, they began to have some experiences of visitation. And the Lord spoke to him and gave him a vision of fire on the water. Didn't know what it meant. One Sunday night, he said, we're going to have baptism. and not for salvations, but just to touch the Lord, a point of contact, something to release our faith. And they started doing that, and 20,000 people later, they've had supernatural miracles that are just unbelievably wonderful, and they're documented. They've taken a million pictures and videos of people being baptized. So I'm going to go help support that at the Assembly of God Church in Rainier, Oregon, right across the bridge from Longview. So if you're in that region, come and join us. It's a wonderful experience. I expect to get involved again. Last month or two, I guess about a month and a half ago, I was working in the baptismal ministry there and saw some miracles happen right before my eyes, watched people being healed of all types of things. So that's happening this Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. But get there early so you'll get a seat. Amen. Point of contact, trigger of faith. That water becomes a release of faith. And it's just an amazing thing to see happen. We last time we baptized in 3 days about 450, close to 500 individuals. And it was an amazing thing. Actually, late into the night each night. So this time they're limiting it to 100 each night. So if you desire to have a healing or an experience with the Lord or just a touch of faith, come early and you can get a certificate or a kind of like a number where you can be in line to have that happen to you. All right. Well, until tomorrow morning, our broadcast will be as our regular time is. We will see you then. And we press forward into the supernatural events of the Holy Ghost. No one else can do that but us Holy Ghost people who have been filled and radiate heaven's glory. I thank God for it every day, and I know you do too. Well, God bless you. And thank you again for your thumbs up and all the things that you do to promote and help this broadcast through sharing and liking and recommending. All those things are important to us. We thank you for that. And if God's nudging you to send us a gift, right down in the show notes, you can find our address and PayPal, so forth. Amen. We'll see you in the morning, and be blessed in all that you do. Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.